News Talk Breakfast. In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
Ireland's exchequer deficit has grown to 14 billion, an increase of 1.7 billion compared to the same period last year. Minister for Finance Pascal Donoghue joins us now to discuss it. More bad news for the economy, Minister. We will come out of the pandemic, the other side of it, at some point in the future. But what is going to happen then?
Well, we will come out the other side of it. And we will beat this disease. And the progress that we're making on our vaccinations alone demonstrates our ability to do it. What will happen at the other side of it then is that we will look to rebuild employment and we will look to rebuild our economy. And much of what is happening in the exchequer figures that you mentioned a moment ago is driven by the programmes that we have in place, like our employment wage subsidy scheme, that are all about trying to preserve and help employers during this time of crisis so that we can reopen and rebuild our economy again.
And obviously growth will help us greatly, and when we come out of that, we hope and we expect that will happen. But with this amount of debt, are we facing inevitably a period of austerity at some point in the near future?
There's nothing inevitable about that. The reason why we are able to do what we can do at the moment is we went into this crisis with our national finances and our economy very well run, in good shape, and we have received exceptional support from the European Central Bank. All of those two things combined together does mean that we can fund the higher level of debt that we have at a very, very low interest rate. And if we can get our economy growing again, which we will be able to do, mainly because of the measures we have in place at the moment, we will be able to, over time, pay for much of the cost that we have now accrued through growth. It's fair to say that if we end up with a permanently bigger state, Ciara, just to be very open and honest about it, if we end up with a permanently far larger state than we have at the moment, that will generate the need to be able to pay for us. But that's a number of steps ahead of us. The first thing we have to do is get out of this economic crisis, which we're going to do.
I suppose just the fear is that I think it's fair what you said, that you were well managing the economy. But all bets are off now in terms of the very different approach we've taken to the economy due to the pandemic. I suppose, obviously, we know, and I've said we know why this has happened. It's public health, and it has to happen. But public health, poverty creates a huge issue for public health too. And that is the fear, isn't it, that we will owe more than we can repay and that there isn't really an ideal plan to fix this?
And that is the fear. And I know it's the fear that many face at the moment and are very concerned about. But the two points I would very briefly make is the reason why we are doing so much of what we're doing at the moment is to protect jobs and protect income exactly at a time in which we should be able to do it. And your point on poverty is so well made. But what I would be very concerned about is if we had a surge of poverty during a public health crisis. And that is why, for example, the pandemic unemployment payment, our employment wage subsidy scheme have supported income for those who need the help the most at a time of this pandemic. And in terms of our future, I just would very briefly go back to your earlier question and the point that you put to me. I believe we will be able to get employment and growth growing in our country again. When we do this, it will deal with so many of the financial difficulties we have at the moment. And that has to be our first priority. If at a later point in the future, in the years to come, we decide we want a far bigger state than we have at the moment, then at that point, we will need to have a debate regarding how that is paid for.
Two stories dominating the news today. Davy Stockbrokers, that consortium within Davies that bought bonds, that compliance appears to have not happened as should happen. The list of names on the front of the Irish Times this morning, including the CEO, including the head of bonds, including the former chief executive. Are positions now untenable within Davies as you would see it? I know you've called for a public statement by them, but this goes to the very core of the company.
And what we are seeing in the action that was taken by the central bank yesterday and in the thoroughness of the investigation that they've carried out is the value now of having an independent regulator that's well resourced,
yeah,
with the ability and the legal ability to carry out these kind of investigations. And it's just really not appropriate for me to second guess their investigation or comment on names that are now in the public arena. What I want to do is just reiterate two points that I've already made. Firstly, to join with the central bank in acknowledging the grave seriousness of this as an issue. And secondly, to say that I do believe it is appropriate that a public statement be made on this matter now by Davy Stockbrokers.
Okay. Last question for you, Minister. The scenes we saw last night in UL, students partying in public, fireworks being set off, the Gardaí struggling to contain what was going on. Obviously, a lot of people struggling against the COVID regulations and restrictions at the moment, but nonetheless, unedifying scenes. What needs to happen to stop these kinds of outbreaks, particularly on college campuses?
Well, my colleague, Minister Simon Harris, is doing all he is doing so much at the moment to communicate the value of public health guidance, particularly to younger students in our third level settings, and why it is in their interests to abide by those rules. So what I just want to do is urge all those, particularly our younger students who've had such a difficult start in third level education due to the fact that they've not been able to go on campus,
yes,
to really stick by these rules.
Well, these students are on campus, and that's just my last question for you, Minister. Many of the students who are in UL and indeed in NUI Galway and places like that are simply there because their parents have paid up front for the rent that for their accommodation. So they go down and stay there so as not to waste it, as it was. Should some kind of a subsidy or should some kind of a reimbursement scheme have been introduced to keep those students at home?
Well, again, last year's budget, Simon Harris did bring forward a measure that looked to make a contribution to some of the fees that students were paying in recognition of the fact that they were not getting the university or third level experience that many would have expected. But really, it does come back to personal responsibility and the role we all take in looking after our own behaviour. That responsibility does sit with each of us individually. And the behaviour that we're discussing poses a threat to the safety and health of those students and those who are near them and those they love and care about. And that is why it's so important that even at this point, all of us, including our younger students, do stick by the rules.
Minister for Finance, Pascal Donoghue, thank you for that indeed.